This time of the year can be very stressful. There are so many events or duties or obligations or parties. We seem like we are running in circles, especially if you are parents with kids in school. With Cheryl and I having had three kids, we remember the elementary Christmas programs. We remember the junior high and high school band concerts and the basketball games from elementary through high school. And then for adults, there were the company parties where you had to wear the old, ugly Christmas sweaters and exchange white elephant gifts. Now, personally, I would keep those elephant gifts because I would use them for the next year then, you see. Stress, pressure, running around, remembering to mail the Christmas cards, remembering to buy presents, keeping dates in mind for yourself and your spouse and your kids. Cheryl did a great job on that. So instead of the pressure of Christmas, let us begin our sermon today with some holy humor that will help us obtain that calming effect called inner peace.
Well, first of all, we know that in the Christmas story, there are the three wise men. But I'd like us to consider, what if those had been three wise women? Now, I think the story might have changed just a little bit, don't you think, ladies? I think maybe three or four major things might have changed. I think, first of all, the women would have had an inner GPS system called God's pointing system that actually would have gotten them there directly, and they wouldn't have had gone to Herod's palace to ask for directions, right? Secondly, I think they actually would have arrived on time. And I think possibly the women would have not only helped deliver that baby, they would have cleaned the stable and brought some practical gifts like a casserole and a quilt. And ultimately, I am assured that there would have been peace on earth. Just saying.
Then there were humorous stories from the Peanuts characters. Linus and Sally were singing their favorite Christmas carol in church the Sunday before Christmas. Linus concluded Silent Night with the words, "Sleep in heavenly beans."
And Sally elbowed him, of course, being the girl alpha, and she goes, "No, no, wrong vegetable. It's peas, not beans."
The way many of us feel by the time we're ready for Christmas, the song might just as well have ended with beans or peas, even Brussels sprouts, instead of peace.
In another Peanuts cartoon, we find Lucy talking to Charlie Brown, and we all know Lucy, right? And Lucy says, "I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole wide world."
And Charlie Brown, being the good guy that he is, says, "But Lucy, I thought you had inner peace."
"Yeah, right. Well, I do. I do have inner peace, Charlie Brown," she says, "but I still have that outer thing called obnoxiousness."
In a final Peanuts comic, Lucy had a score to settle with Charlie Brown.
And she starts chasing him around. You know how Lucy does. And she's shouting at Charlie Brown, "I'll get you, Charlie Brown. I'll get you. I will knock your block off, Charlie Brown."
And Charlie Brown, who's been running full speed, stops and turns around and says, "Now, wait a minute. Hold everything. We can't carry on like this. We have no right to act this way. The world is filled with problems. People hurting other people. People not understanding other people. Now, if we as children can't solve what are relatively minor problems, how can we ever expect to?
Oh, and Lucy interrupts him right then, hits him left in the jaw, and knocks him out cold. Well, she said, I had to hit him. He was starting to make sense. And isn't that the way it is? So many times we, as human beings, we war with other human beings, and we don't even know the reason why, truly. Or we have a constant turmoil inside of ourselves. In the scripture reading for today, we hear the angels announcing to the shepherds on that first Christmas night, oh, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. But what is Christmas peace? What is this peace that the angels announced to the shepherds?
There's a place in the Bible that I think may be misunderstood. A lot of people, including Christians, have given it as an excuse for holy wars. It is where Jesus says to us, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And that comes from Matthew 10, verse 34. Here's what this means to me. What is peace? Well, it's not complacency or smugness. This is what I believe the original word meant in this particular verse. I come to you not to bring complacency, but to bring a sword. Now, the Message paraphrase helps in my understanding of this passage. It reads, "Don't think that I've come to make life cozy. I've come to cut, make a sharp knife cut, cut through those cozy domestic arrangements and free you for God." You see, the sword represents a dividing line between the choice to be self-satisfied or self-righteous and the decision to build a new way of life. In other words, the sword is about repentance, turning around and walking in a new direction, even in the midst of friends and families who may try to distract you from your journey of faith. I come to tell you about possibilities, Jesus says. I come to give you muscle in your lives. I come to give you joy that's overflowing, but you can't have it if you remain complacent. You have to rise above that. You have to accept a greater power than your own. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, which comes from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5.
Many today are facing tragedies and conflicts during this holiday season. You know, we think of our brothers and sisters across the sea who are literally experiencing war zones. But we also have people who are living in unhappy marriages, those who are living with financial troubles, and those too can feel like war zones. And I know many of us are facing health difficulties, and it's difficult during these times to find that peace. But we know, as it states in Philippians 4:7, that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it will guide and guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The message of Christmas time, the message of the Prince of Peace, is this: that nothing can bring you peace but your own decision to allow the Prince of Peace to rule in your life and in your heart. You see, we can make the decision whether we're going to have peace today and in this moment or not. It's difficult with circumstances that surround us, but we can choose to face it with faith. We lose our peace because oftentimes we fail to make that holy connection with the spirit of Christmas, which is the spirit of Christ.
One of the primary teachings of Jesus is that peace is just not going apart for a while and meditating and praying and forgetting about what's going on around us. That is an inverted sense of peace. That's saying, I'm going to escape what is happening in my world right now. I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to close my eyes to the world. But actually, peace is a state of being alert. It is knowing whatever I'm doing in the day, I can know that I am not alone. No matter what is happening outside of me, I make the decision on how I'm going to live that moment. I give myself great power and possibilities when I do that.
Peace is the environment of our heart and of our soul. It really has very little to do with our outer environment and outer circumstances. You know, when I surrender myself to the mind of Christ and I choose to live within his will, something flows through me that is beyond belief, that transcends my own human understanding. It's so great that when chaos does occur, and it will occur, that there is a divine order inside of me, inside of you, and we are empowered by it. We're not going to buy into something that appears to be a disaster. We're going to buy into that great power of God. You know, let's think of it in terms of a hurricane. Even a hurricane has the eye of the storm. And the eye of the storm is pretty peaceful. It's pretty calm. And when Paul and I lived in Alaska, and there was a horrible blizzard, and there were villages that went down around us, we were in the eye of that storm. And even though the winds blew, we were safe there. And we remember that image as we think about the chaotic things that fly around us day to day. So let us all really focus the season, and when we get angry and we feel things are blowing around us, let us really seek to get to that center and know that there is the eye of the storm, which is God. In John 16:33, it says, I have said this to you so that in you, you may have peace. And what does that mean, that in me, you shall have peace? It means that in the attitude and in our thinking, that Jesus is the clue to finding this peace. In essence, Jesus says, follow me, follow my way of doing it, and become more like me.
And Jesus goes on to say, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Let's say that you have troubles or ill health, or you're facing some other difficulty, and you say, well, that's fine, Jesus. You have overcome the world, but I haven't. I'm still here in this hurricane. I'm still feeling the pain. I feel like I'm destroying myself inside of myself. But remember what the whole verse said. What he's saying to you directly, in me you may have peace. I have overcome the world for you. Always read the Bible like it is written for you. because it is. It is a personal message from God, from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit to you.
So we encourage you this morning. We encourage you to have the same mind as is in Christ and to find this Prince of Peace this Christmas season. The Prince of Peace doesn't do any good just on a Christmas card, right? The Prince of Peace doesn't come alive until the Prince of Peace lives inside of you. In Philippians 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus."
So many times, something happens in our life that is so unexplainable that we ask ourselves, where is God in this situation? How can there be any good to occur in this situation? And that is when we need to attune ourselves again to God's Spirit. When you do, you see with greater eyes than your human eyes. When you're willing to focus your attention on the presence of God rather than the situation, you open yourself to the activity of God waiting to come forward to you. The Bible says in Job chapter 22, verse 21, "Agree with God and be at peace." If you want to do what Job says, well, how do you agree with God? As you kneel in front of the altar, do you say, "God, I agree with you"? You're not sure what he's saying, but you say, "I agree with you, God." But what are you agreeing with? Did God just tell you something that you're agreeing with? Or are you attuning your mind to become more like God? And this is the gift of life. This is the gift that the babe born in Bethlehem brought us. It is the gift that we don't have to live by the old law of an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. It is a gift to know that I can rise above conflict in my relationships. I do not have to war anymore with any other human beings.
You know, we talk a lot about following Christ and becoming more Christ-like. But exactly what does this mean and what all does it entail? And you know, sometimes it can seem overwhelming. But if we just look at this very simply, it's just one step at a time, isn't it? Just like we get over anything. Just one step at a time. To each day affirm that we will be more like Jesus today. So today, perhaps when it might become easy to get in an argument with someone, you know, sometimes that happens even on Sundays, right? Let us seek peace instead. Let us find that center, the eye of the storm, as our anger arises. And let the love of Christ radiate from you and allow everyone to see it. But most of all, we encourage you not to live your Christian life simply for others to see. And that's what we love about you, because you don't. You live by the way Christ lives. And we see you each day taking those steps and discovering new ways to be more like Christ. Knowing that you can have peace today, and not just peace meaning the absence of conflict, it's a peace that we choose to have despite the circumstances that may be raging around us. By choosing to do this, in the long run, after you've taken a few steps, you're going to say, "This is good." And after a while, we'll be running and not just stepping. We'll be running in the grace of God. You will be allowing the Spirit of Christ to give you great and wonderful power and abilities like you've never seen in yourself before. We really pray that you will take 1 Corinthians 2:9 to heart that says, eyes have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
Let us prepare for prayer. In this sanctuary, I invite you to turn to the presence of Christ's presence, the Prince of Peace, to discover a calm peace and assurance that's awaiting you. Through the power of God, you are empowered to face any situation in your life and experience a true peace. You have a foundation of peace inside you. You trust God to work through you in peace. And in peace, you heartily and openly accept the good gift that God has given you at this time of the year. Through the power of Jesus Christ, you are victorious and you will overcome. The greatest victory is peace. You are centered in the peace of God, and you have prepared your mind and your heart for the joy of Christmas Day. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we are of the same mind that you are, O Christ our Lord, born in Bethlehem long ago and born today in my heart. Lord, as I face many trials and tribulations, please give me your peace that passes all understanding. In your holy and precious name, amen.